you have come tonight to satisfy your thirst, look nowhere else, but look to me. For I will give you living waters that will satisfy your soul forevermore. You will find peace in me. You will find strength in me. You will only find what you seek in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Well, once again, welcome to Wednesday Night Refreshing. You didn't have to come, but you get to come. You know, when you love someone, you want to be with them. Right? I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus. And to be with his people. I want to remind the ladies that this Saturday at 10 a.m., Woven will be happening here. So ladies, come out and fellowship and hear the mighty word of God. And then the following Saturday, our men are going to meet for our Barnabas group, because the last weekend is Thanksgiving weekend. So we're going to meet early this month. So come out to both of those things. It'll be a blessing if you can. Ladies, go to the ladies. Men, come to the men. Amen. Well, if you love Jesus tonight, say hallelujah. Amen. And you know, as always, we don't pass a container here at VCF, but we do have a container in the back. And as the Lord has blessed you, you be a blessing. You can bring it in here, give it online, however you'd like to do it. There's all kinds of ways to do that. But let's pray over that right now. Father, what a joy and an honor it is to give into your kingdom. Lord, it is an investment with a great return. And we just thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver and gift. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And we're going to continue to talk about gaining strength through knowing God. You have your knowers on tonight? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" You know, I thought about that. You know, strength is going to come through you knowing something and hearing something. You know, strength just doesn't come without you doing anything. How many know the story of Samson? Was he strong by accident or by design? God had a conversation with his mama, then with his dad, and God said, "I'm going to raise a deliverer." And they had to do some certain things. They had to not cut his hair and not drink any wine, but he was a strong man. He did great acts of strength because of the Spirit of the Lord that was on him. So have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, you know that God is everlasting? I mean, he's not like a gum that gets rid of his flavor in 10 minutes. I mean, God is everlasting. He's never going to diminish in strength or power. Say that with me. Say, God is everlasting. He is going to go on forever and ever and ever. And we're going to look at that a little bit more closely tonight, because it goes on to say in that verse, in verse 29, he gives power to the faint And to them that have no might, he increases strength. How would you like God to increase your strength tonight? How would you like God to give you power tonight? Well, those things are available. Okay? And we're going to discover some things about God. And let's go to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. If you know that God is everlasting, then you have something to rely on when you need strength. If God is everlasting, when can you get strength? Where can you get strength? Wherever, whenever, as long as you know who gives you the strength. Okay? And in John chapter 5, verse 26, and Jesus was talking here, and he said, in verse 25, he said, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So here the scripture is telling us that the Father has life in himself. He is the living God. He is the fountain of life, and he has power to give and distribute life to whoever who wants it, to whoever wants it. All right? In other words, God doesn't need anything else to make him alive. He doesn't need anyone else. He has life in himself. He is the source of life. You know, it's like God is a walking defibrillator, right? And when someone's heart stops, you know, if there's a defibrillator there and they rub it together and they say clear, and it gives them a jolt of power, doesn't it? And it causes a dead heartbeat to start living again. God has life in himself. He doesn't need anything else to exist. He exists on his own. No one created God. No one was before God. No one will outlast God. Okay? Then, you know, God, he causes people to truly live. If you want to really live, you must be connected with God. You will not truly live apart from God. You've got to be connected. You've got to be in relationship. You've got to know him. And I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him in an intimate way, in a close way. Okay? Those people who are in sin are dead. But God raises the dead. When someone accepts Jesus Christ, they go from death to life immediately. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. I just want you to see something here. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 12. Notice this is very simple. He that has the Son has what? So if you have the Son, then you have life. Why? Because life is in the Son too. And God gave the Son the power and the authority to give life to whomever he wants to. Then it says, and he that has not the Son of God does not have life. So if you have the Son, you have what? If you don't have the Son, you don't have what? So life is in the Son. And this type of Son won't get you burned. You can bask in his life. All right? So the Son is just like the Father, because he has life in himself and he can give life. God is the authority. Jesus, then, he's the authority. He's the judge. And when you're right with God, your life is good. Yeah, but you don't know the troubles I face. Yeah, but you're not facing them alone. See, when you have the Son, you have life, and he doesn't camp in trouble. He gets you through. You'd be like, whoa, that was easy. Right? Yeah. It doesn't mean you're not going to face challenges, but it means that you have someone working, so it doesn't matter what you face, life is good. How did it turn out for Job? God strengthened Job to endure suffering. And he endured it, but he didn't stay suffering. Because at the end of the chapter, he lived 140 years after all that stuff happened. He got a whole new family after he lost the one that he had. He got twice as many stuff as what he had lost. He saw his children to the fourth generation. Why? Because he had strength to endure. God's strength works for real life problems. You don't have to turn there, but John 10:10 says, Jesus came to give you abundant life. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You want abundant life? Then your connection with Jesus will cause life to be abundant. It will cause life to abound. Jesus said in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said believers will continue to live after death. We know from Corinthians that for a believer, death has no sting. It's simply a transference from here to there. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to the Father, you've got to go through me. Oh, 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is powerful. Why are we talking about this? Because you need to be confident in the life that comes from Jesus. It's a life above this world. It's a life greater than this world. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What did he do? He abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light. Only Jesus can light up your life. You can sing, you light up my life. You give me hope so I can carry on. See, in Christ is everything that you need, everything that you want, and everything that you desire. There is nothing that can compare to him. No gold, no jewel, no amount of money, no position, nothing, none of that stuff can compare to him. Because all that stuff's going to end, but he's not going to end. All right? He is beyond what you can imagine. And if something in your life is missing, God can make it for you. All right? God is the absolute source of life. Go with me to Psalm 36. Let's go to Psalm 36. Let's look at verse 7. We're going to read 7 to 12. want you to listen to these words. How excellent is your loving kindness? How priceless is it? Have you ever thought about how priceless, how excellent, how wonderful is God's loving kindness to you? Have you ever thought, you said, man, God, you just love me a whole lot. How excellent, how priceless is His loving kindness. O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. When you realize how good God's loving kindness is to you, it will inspire you to trust Him. You can be confident in Him. You'll put your trust in Him. Why? Because you know He loves you. And is He everlasting? So does His love ever end? If He's everlasting, then His love is everlasting. We serve a good God. He loves you. Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me a whole bunch. Say, I'm loved by God. See, when the devil tries to lie to you and tell you that you're not, you need to remind yourself that you are. Oh, the devil will try to tell you that you're not loved. But if you read what God said, He said, no, I love you. So there is no one in this world that can say, I'm not loved. All right, let's read on. Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. You'll be abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. How many want to be satisfied? Notice how God satisfies you. King James says, abundantly satisfied. Do you think God just picked that word out of the air? I mean, God is so good. He exudes goodness. He is so good. You got to enjoy God's goodness. Say, God is good to me. So you got to know that God loves you. You got to know that God is good to you. If God is good to you, is He the source of anything bad? See, a lot of times, here's what the devil does. Bad things happen. And he tries to get people to curse God because he wants people to think that God is the source of bad things. Isn't that what the devil did in the garden? That's not God's. You're not going to die. He totally downplayed what God said. And Job's friends, Job's wife, they were all trying to get him to curse God. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Shut up, woman. He refused. I know Pastor Fiona would never say that to me. She'd say, don't you dare curse God. But do you see the pressure that was applied to Job to try to get him to curse God? You know, Job knew some things about God. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. He had faith in the redemption of God. He knew that what he's going to go through, God's going to make it better. What a powerful statement. I know my Redeemer lives. Whew. Do you know He lives? You can be abundantly satisfied with the fullness of His house. Then you shall make them drink of the river of your pleasures. Did you know that you could drink of the river of God's pleasures? In His presence, His fullness is joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's got a river of pleasures that you can drink from. You'll find it'll be the most satisfying water that you've ever tasted. It's living water. You can drink. Is He not the fountain of life? Do you not drink from a fountain? Whoo! For with you, verse 9, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light. Did you know that if you want to see light, you got to get in the light? Okay? Jesus is the light. Alright? Verse 10. Oh, continue your loving kindness unto them that what? Know you. God wants to continue his loving kindness to them that know him. And your righteousness to the upright in heart. Verse 11. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. For there are workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. God wants to satisfy you abundantly tonight with goodness. He wants you to get excited about his goodness. You know, the other day, Josiah, he missed school because he needed some extra rest. And I was going to the store, and he knew that he was going to get something from the store. And so he was walking through the store saying, I'm super excited. And you know what? That's how we ought to be with the things of God. When you come here tonight, you should have said, I'm super excited about what God's going to do. I'm super excited. Why? We have life in God. True life. Real life. Sustaining life. Overcoming life. Victorious life. Triumphant life. Go with me to John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. See, when you know that God is life, everywhere you show up, you bring the life of the party with you. Oh, Pastor, life's not a party. It can be. I mean, did not God tell the Israelites to celebrate a whole bunch of stuff? And when they celebrated, some of their celebrations lasted for 7 days. Every day that you get up can be a time of celebration. Why? Because you know God. You know he's the source of life. You know that you can't lose no matter what you face. I didn't anticipate it coming out quite like this, but John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who made all things? Now, don't blame God on the mosquito. He probably had a different purpose before the fall. Or the fly, or anything else. Why did God make that? Well, things changed when man fell. Did you know that? Did you know the earth changed when man fell? Before there were no thorns, but when he fell, thorns started to come up. Did you know that all creation groans and travails until Jesus comes again? Because creation as it is now is not what it was when he created it. But Jesus can bring heaven on earth. Through Jesus Christ, we can have heaven on earth. We can experience God's power and God's goodness and God's grace where we are right now. And guess what? We get all of God's goodness with just a down payment. Imagine when he comes and pays the whole thing. Whoo! All things were made by him. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know when people are in the life, there's a light about them. There's a glow about them. There's a sparkle in their eye. There's like a something in their step. A spring in the step. That's it. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Julie. I'll never forget. We were in Illinois before I was married. And my friend and I, we were witnessing to all the drunks when after the bars closed. We would hang out in the truck stops, and then all these people would come in, and we would drive around looking for people just to witness to. And we saw this one guy. And my friend, knew this guy. And they were friends, and he said, "Hey, let me tell you some good news." And the guy came closer and said, "What's the good news?" He said, "I want to tell you about Jesus. He'll put a skip in your step." When he heard that, he turned around and walked the other way. I guess he didn't want a skip in his step. I don't know. But how many have the experience that God will put a skip in your step? He'll put a spring in your walk. He'll put a sparkle in your eye. Why? His life is the light of men. Walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. When the word of God comes in, it gives light. It shines on the inward parts. I like what Proverbs 4 says. The path of the righteous get brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. Did you know that you can increase in light? You can have more light, not just a spotlight, but you can be like one of those walking glow sticks, right? That's always shining. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Did you know that not everybody's going to get while you're shining? Not everybody's going to appreciate your shine. There's a lot of people in the world that when the light shines, they couldn't comprehend it. They didn't understand it. All right. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's look at this example here. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And she was kind of taken back that a Jew would ask her for a drink of water. Because Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along really well. The Jews thought the Samaritans were dogs, half-breeds. And they totally disrespected them. But Jesus came for everybody, didn't he? And so we'll pick up the conversation in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew," didn't we hear that before already? "If you knew the gift of God," how many know that God is a giver of gifts? And God's gifts are good. God's gifts are one size fits all, forever guaranteed. And God's gifts are what people need, want, desire, and like. Okay? Jesus is saying here, if you knew the gift of God, see, if you knew the gift of God, you would be unrestrained in going after it. If you really knew the kind of gifts that God gives, you will always want to be there when he's passing out gifts. Salvation is a gift, isn't it? It's not of works. It's a gift. And like any gift that God gives, it can either be, you can do two things with God's gifts. You can accept them or you can reject them. Did you know that some people actually reject eternal life? The Pharisees, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. How did that happen? I thought everybody was a child of God. No. Only people who believe in him and obey him. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto you, "Give me to drink." You got to know the gift and you got to know the giver. And let me tell you something, the giver is greater than the gift. Don't get your eyes too focused on the gift, but put your eyes on the giver. Because when you get the giver, you get the gift. It's included. Okay? Notice, "You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. How do you get living water? All you got to do is ask. You don't have to do somersaults. You don't have to do cartwheels. How many of you can ask? If you know the gift, and if you know who it was who given you, you would ask of him, and he would give you what kind of water? Living water. Why? He's the source of life. See, he gives life to those who ask him for life. He gives strength to those who ask him for strength. Because if you're going to ask him for these things, you know that he has it. You wouldn't ask someone for something you know that they don't have. Hey, Les, can I have $1 million? Good answer. So notice what the woman's response was. The woman said unto him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is so deep. From where then do you have this living water?" She's thinking natural, just like Nicodemus. How can I be born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb? It's not like that, Nicodemus. It's different. You have nothing to draw with. Where are you going to get this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, verse 12, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Why? "But the water that I shall give him shall be" where? "In him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life." How many wells do you know that spring up? See, religion, they have to lower the bucket, right? All kinds of works, all kinds of effort. But when it comes to God, the living water, it springs up from the well. It's effortless. It takes no work. It just takes faith. It just takes you asking. It just takes you believing. And when you ask and when you believe, there's going to be a well in you and it's going to spring up. That means right now you are a walking source of life because the life is in you. You don't have to go anywhere to get life. He came in you. He abides in you. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, what? You can ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Is that not powerful? But you notice you can't ask unless you're abiding in him and his words are abiding in you. Did you know that life is a gift of God? Jesus is authorized to give and distribute living water. Tonight we're having a giveaway of living water. Refreshing water. Satisfying water. Water that gives abundant life. Alright? Alright, let's go to John chapter 7. So to get the living water, you must ask the source. Asking represents faith. How many know the story of Bartimaeus? Mark chapter 10, don't go there. But Bartimaeus was blind. And he was sitting on the road, begging. Except this day, someone came by Bartimaeus. You know who it was? The source of life. And Bartimaeus heard people mentioning his name. Jesus is walking. When he knew that it was Jesus, what did Bartimaeus do? He cried out, "Jesus!" But the people told him to be quiet. Listen, don't let the devil tell you to be quiet. Don't interrupt me. I'm getting life here. "Jesus! They told him to be quiet. He got louder. You know, when look, it may be a person talking to you, but when you're after something that God has and you want, don't let anybody interfere or interrupt. Don't let anybody stop you. Cry out. What happened? Jesus stopped. And the people that told Bartimaeus to be quiet, Jesus said, go bring him to me. And they said, oh, the master wants you. And Bartimaeus now is blind. He's standing before Jesus, and Jesus said, what would you have me do? Well, duh, I'm blind. No, see, but God wanted to see if he really wants it. He said that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, be it according to you as you have believed. He started off blind, but he left seeing. Why? Because he cried out. He cried out. He raised his voice. Sometimes saying is not going to work. You got to be bold about it. Jesus! You got to have confidence in his name. You got to know the power that's in his name. John 7, our last scripture for tonight. John 7. This is powerful. We're knowing that God has life in himself, that God is self-existent. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast. Okay, this is at a party. A feast is a party. Okay? Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, who's he talking to? Anybody. Who can hear? Anybody who knows who's talking. If any man is thirsty, are you thirsty? I mean, are you thirsty? Notice what he said now. To those who are thirsty, he's speaking to a specific group of people. Those who are thirsty. Let him come where? Unto me and what? Drink. Jesus is a bartender. If you're thirsty at a feast, where do you go? You go to the bartender. Doesn't mean you have to drink alcohol. Notice, if you're thirsty, you don't just sit there. There has to be some movement toward Jesus. If you're thirsty, you're not going to get satisfied just sitting there. Let him come unto me and drink. Gulp, 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 gulp. Drink what? Drink his word. Drink his living water. Drink his new wine. I'm thirsty. Notice what happens now. And he that believes on who? How? As what? Listen, you got to believe in Jesus according to how the Word says, not according to your experience. He didn't say, believe on me as you have experienced. He said, believe on me as the scripture has said. When you drink, something's going to result of you drinking. It's going to start a flow. And then out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Your well becomes a river. The well ceases to be a spring. It's not just springing up anymore. It's flowing like a river. Oh. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, what? What's that after the verse 39? They that believe on him should what? Everybody say receive. God wants you to receive of the Spirit. He wants you to take in the Spirit. He wants you to be infused with the Spirit. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't in the earth. It was just on certain people. He was just on certain people. But after, on the day of Pentecost, he became on every person. So if you're thirsty tonight, and I know some people in here are thirsty, because you've been drinking from dead wells. You've been drinking stale water. You know, one time I was in a Boy Scout camp, and every faucet that they had tasted like rotten eggs because it had sulfur. And it didn't matter what, it was the fountain or the faucet or the sink or the sink in the bathroom. It all tasted like rotten eggs. But I want to let you know tonight, Jesus doesn't taste like rotten eggs. This is Wednesday night refreshing. And God is going to refresh you with living water. He is going to, it's going to be such good water. It's going to satisfy your soul with such goodness and fatness and fullness. All you got to do is come, believe, and drink. How do you drink? You move your mouth. What do you mean, move my mouth? You mean you praise the Lord. The more you praise the Lord, the more you drink. And the more you drink, well, you know the story. Sometimes when you drink too much, you get drunk. But this drunk comes without any hangover. It comes with strength and power. It's living water. And you're drinking from Jesus. Amen? So if you're thirsty, I want you to come up right now and drink. See, she's already drinking. She started her drinking early. Ha ha ha. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha 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 ha. Oh, son. Just fill her up right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Oh, Rebecca, Sunday. Whoa. Whoa.
We never will run dry. Father,
whoa. In Jesus' name.
Our souls with one desire.
Sure, Rebecca, Sunday.
Just to love you and
that's what you call a good drunk. Father, right now, Lord, I just thank you that out of his belly flow rivers of living water. In Jesus' name. Father, just right now, lighten the load. In Jesus, I remove every burden, care, and concern right now. And Lord, let him just be filled with your living water in Jesus' name. Not just a chuckle, but a full, Lord, he needs a picture. He needs a picture, Lord. Several pictures of living water in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks and praise right now. Lord, you just in Jesus' name.
To know Father's heart.
Father, I give you thanks and praise right now.